Hi, this is Dave Stark, and I'm here with Justin Royer. Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose, a show dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We're glad you joined us today. We've been in a new series on questions in business and leadership for a while. This series really is our way of advancing a new image of leadership that's based on the metaphor of the agile human body rather than a rigid machine. And we also want to know that you can get in this conversation online at davidstarkcollective.com, or you can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. Now, I just want to talk about, you can also listen to our podcast on iTunes, and we really like people to kind of review us
there.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah. So anyway, but I'm going to tell a couple of opening stories that leads to our question today. And our question is this. It is, what do you stand for, and what are you against in your business? So two stories, Justin, I came across. The first one was about a week and a half ago. I was working with a church. I'm working on my church strategy stuff, which is the other side of my life. And I was going to a meeting where we're really about to experiment with ways to connect with the community. And I always get there early. This guy's house, and we'll call him Bill. And Bill was there, and he just looked kind of aloof, or, you know, foggy. I said, Bill, what's going on? And he said, which I've heard about this for a few weeks, and that is that his CEO, who's made all these kind of promises to him, and promises to the world, and he realizes now that he's knee deep. He's one of the top salespeople. He says, I'm actually got over $1 million of business lined up next month, but I know we can't deliver it. It's all based upon these promises, and the CEO keeps not delivering. And I've gotten to the place where it's a value clash for me, and I don't want to bring it to the table. And so he was talking about the fact that he's got to confront the CEO, but that means he may have, he may be looking at the back door after that happens. And that's what happens in companies where values, there's really the promise and delivery. There's not values of integrity or values around that. And that's when, value-based leadership really shows its head, when the pressure's on and the promises and the delivery are exact opposite. Also, last week, I had another great experience in town. And it's a company that's fast growing. It's on, it's part of the best of the best in Minnesota right now that way. And we sat around with a leadership team. And I've been hired there to define their purpose and also define their core values. And I had a fantastic time with this management team, and with their input, also their customers and their vendors. And it was so clear to the CEO. He told me afterwards, he said, those value statements are so clear to us. And what's great about it is we've already been living these. Now you're helping us name them in case, they triple in size. And so great values become the lifeblood of great management teams, where they don't necessarily even name them yet, but they guide the entire company. And that's part of what's the customers have told me, that, these people are ridiculously moral, which is such a breath of fresh air. So it's the contrast and how important this question is of what you stand for and then kind of what you're against.
It's a fun topic to discuss, because I think it impacts every leader and everyone that's actually in not only leadership, but just being involved in business.
Yes.
This topic comes up a lot, whether it's explicitly coming up or just, the thoughts that you have and the implicit nature of values throughout the day. But it's noticeably evident or absent depending on your culture, right? If you have a value set and if you stand for things very explicitly, people know that, and it's an aligning factor. You and I have been in various experiences and organizations in our past, and I've had the luxury of working with an organization where core values was extremely explicit, and it was something that was discussed a lot. Again, it started off as a very emergent property where this is just what we believe in and what we do.
Yes.
And just making that explicit was such a great aligning factor for the organization and paid dividends. Conversely, I've been on the other side where organizations where it's extremely absent, and then you get into a lot of hairy situations professionally. And that's where I think your first story is so unfortunately common for a lot of people's experiences mm-hmm. because they see that, you know, when you don't have, you know, this rule set or these defining boundaries, anything goes. And yes. unfortunately, when anything goes, anything goes.
Yeah, right? That's right. So. Yep. And there's a great book on this topic. At least it's the best book I've found. And it's called It's Not What You Sell, But What You Stand For. Roy Spence is the author. And Haley, I can't remember Haley's last name right now.
Haley Rushing.
That's right. Thank you. She is the co-contributor. But it's really about purpose and values, and has great methodologies that I use all the time to do that. But one of their points is this has got to start from the top of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotta be lived there. It's gotta be valued there, right? And that's why having empathy with your employees along the way on the organization, ultimately they end up inspiring employees. They should, if they're used well and if they're crafted well. But without leadership embracing these things, you're not channeling as a leader. You're not challenging the talent and channeling it in the directions that really make a difference.
Right.
If you're not leading with it really on a weekly basis.
And I know, Dave, when we talk about, you know, leading from the top, I mean, you and I, you know, our thesis is very anti-hierarchical in general, right?
Yes.
And so I think there's a distinction that we need to make, too, that when we say leading from the top, we mean it really is still servant leadership, if you will. But
yes.
it is setting an example, and we would go back to the biblical and objective truth that we believe in, you know, where Jesus is setting this example.
Yes.
Now, he's not managing, if you will, a Egyptian-structured hierarchy.
Right.
But, you know, maybe we could say a few words about that in terms of, you know, leading from the top. Yes, that's – or setting an example from the top is important.
Yep.
But, again, it's not this rigid hierarchy that we've come
Absolutely.
To know.
Absolutely. So we've been talking about the body metaphor and the image of that. And the reality is it's in a networked world, an interconnected world, values are magnified because – there's so much more transparency, and you know, your promises are there forever, and people have them, and it goes out there, and so in that kind of organization, because you're not using as much positional authority, which is hierarchy and is based on that, mm-hmm. You have to have other authorities that really help guide people, and so they actually get accented even more in terms of how the mutually synergistic, mutually interdependent systems of the body, as metaphor, need those guiding values even more because you're not defaulting
right.
to lording it over, is how the scripture would put it.
Right.
And I love that text, and talk about that in 1 John a little bit about.
Yeah, I mean, 1 John 3:18. Mm-hmm. I mean, where we talk about, you know, it's words and deeds. And really the leadership we're talking about is action driven. I mean, it's living out these values. It's not just putting it on a piece of paper, stapling it to your cube and saying, well, here you go. Now we're a company built on values.
Yes.
It's actually living this out. And that does start from leadership and kind of modeling that behavior. But again, it's, you know, the 1 John 3:18 passage is, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're talking about here.
It is. And I want to just talk for a moment here more about how the interconnected world, why core values are even more important. And the reason is because your competition just went out the roof in your connected world.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your competition may be coming from lots of fields, from lots of locations, from disruptive things happen, as we've talked about, much more often. It's much more volatile, et cetera. So the average customer, and you can multiply times 10 with the digital natives, and that is, you're not, you know, if you're going to try to do it on features and benefits,
right?
They can get those features and benefits, mm-hmm. maybe cheaper, maybe more benefits over here. And so what's going to stand out for them? Well, what stands out for them is, well, they stand for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I know that the younger generations will actually vacate brands if they don't believe in what they stand for, or you know, even pay a little more for brands who actually have value statements. And so it becomes critical to differentiating value now, mm-hmm. is that these people stand for something. And that really matters. And, for example, I know that many younger people, I think I have done this unconsciously, but many younger people will actually buy brands because they believe in what they stand for. I'm wearing this particular shirt, or I'm wearing these shoes, right? Because I believe in those brands. And that's a completely different way of thinking about differentiating value.
Whereas, you know, us old guys, we'll just buy anything.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't matter if we believe in it. It's just like, well, this shoe fits, so yeah. I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah.
I guess so. Well, we painted ourselves in an interesting light.
Yeah, we did.
So speaking of what matters, I wanted to bring up our friend Gary Hamel. We have a professional crush on Gary.
We do.
He's fantastic, and we'll put this in our show notes too, but he has a fantastic book called What Matters Now, and he devotes an entire chapter to values. Mm-hmm. And he tells a few stories, and I'll just mention them briefly, but one of his the statements in his book is that, you know, the global economy really amplifies the impact of these choices that we're making as organizations. Mm-hmm. Because we are so interconnected, you know, you can't, quote unquote, get away with things that you could in the past. And he lists examples like Nike and Apple and Dell and, you know, some of the bigger brands that we've come to know. Yep. You know, they've been in hot water within the last decade or so because of some of the practices in manufacturing overseas and things that weren't necessarily as humane as, you know, the global population would like to have them be. And so, I mean, they're called to the carpet on that.
Absolutely.
And that's just one example of not living out a value that, you know, people at least thought that they, you know, stood for.
You bet. And they've all had to make changes consequently.
Yes.
To rewrite themselves in the marketplace.
Yeah. And he talks about this too. He calls it the global consciousness that's being created based on the, you know, the digital infrastructure that we have and the nervous system that you and I have talked about, you know, again, back to the body of the metaphor of the body. But this consciousness is growing globally that says, hey, you know, we look around and we're like, we all live on the same planet. Mm-hmm. We all breathe the same air. We drink the same water. We should be stewards of those resources. And that comes down to ultimately, you know, values and making sure that we're actually living out and acting in accordance with those values. So, it's fantastic. But I mean, that growing consciousness translates into overall management and leadership too. You can take that global perspective and take it down to your organization.
Yes, you can.
And that's what's happening at or needs to happen on a local level.
Yeah, and there's a lot of these going on, but the environmental one specifically, it actually started to gain some steam in the 1960s at that point, I was alive, by the way.
Buying anything you wanted
there
to.
There you go.
Not right. Because you believed in it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But it's really gotten global and, mm-hmm. we know, central importance to the younger generations all over the world and people all over the world. And so that's a big deal. We're going to talk some more kind of after our break here on the relationship of core values and a certain kind of leadership. Because to run, first of all, networked organizations, but also to run with the influence of values rather than just authority, mm-hmm. is something that, especially in 1 Peter, the scriptures talk a lot about. It mirrors what Jesus said in the gospel. So we'll take a break, we'll talk about that. All right, we'll be back in a minute. And we'll be talking about core values and find out the topics from 1 Peter. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Be right back.
Spiritual principles have become common in the workplace, whether or not managers and leaders acknowledge the source. It's a great time to be a Christian in business. And that's why Working with Purpose is bringing you this conversation. Working with Purpose is a program dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We'd love to have you part of the discussion. You can dialogue with David and Justin on these important topics, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter, @StarkCollective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to Working with Purpose and will help you and your business go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Find out more now by going to davidstarkcollective.com and open either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Please visit us and join the conversation anytime at davidstarkcollective.com. Find us on Twitter at Stark Collective and listen to our podcast on iTunes and give us a review because, Dave, we love those reviews.
We do. Yeah.
And
feedback.
If you like us, I mean, let us know. And if not, you know, just stay quiet. That's fine. Dave, we were talking about a bunch of good stuff there at the end, and I introduced one of our friends, Gary Hamel. I actually want to stay on the Hamel train here for a second.
Okay.
And he has, again, in What Matters Now, he's got a great section of basically him giving advice to new college grads. And this advice to new college grads, I think, is a really perfect in addressing kind of the values topic that we're talking about today and what matters and ultimately what do you stand for, because he sets it up in a way that is just intriguing. And so if you'd humor me, and those of you in the audience, if you'd humor me, I'm actually going to read a few of the passages that Please. Gary has to say, because I think it's perfect for today's topic. So here's the advice that he gives to college grads. So first, he says, your widowed mother has invested her life savings in your company. She's the only shareholder, and that investment is her only asset. So obviously, you'll do everything you can to make sure she has a secure and happy retirement. That's why the idea of sacrificing the long term for a quick payout will never occur to you. So just a really interesting way to kind of start out how you think about jumping into an organization and what that organization means and what it needs to ultimately deliver.
Yes.
So he goes on to say, second, your boss is an older sibling. You'll always be respectful, but you won't hesitate to offer frank advice when you think it's warranted, and you'll never suck up. This is very good advice.
Yes.
I just personally, just kind of jumping into organizations and jobs, if you think of your boss as an older sibling, you know, you would be respectful, right? But you'd also be open saying, hey, I don't believe we should go this way.
Lots of employees need that advice.
Absolutely. So I think that's fantastic. So third, your employees are childhood chums. You'll always give them the benefit of the doubt and will do whatever you can to smooth their path. When needed, though, you'll remind them that friendship is a reciprocal responsibility. You'll never treat them as human resources.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Kind of gets to the humanity and gosh darn it, we're all humans first, and we're employees and bosses and everything else second.
And it goes right to the body image.
It really does.
Because the body has to care for each other.
Fourth, your children are the company's primary customers. You want to please and delight them. That means you'll go to the mat with anyone who suggests you should deceive or take advantage of them. You'll never exploit a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gets to this, you know, our human-centered or consumer-centric approach. Again, other-orientedness is really what I would call this, right? You want to make sure that you're doing right for someone else other than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You would never exploit them, and that gets to the long-term value you're trying to create, not just the short-term win.
Yes.
And then fifth, you're independently wealthy. You work because you want to, not because you have to. So you will never sacrifice your integrity for a promotion or a glowing performance review. You'll quit before you compromise.
Wow.
And I think that gets, again, back to core values, and not just of the firm, but now of you. You know, what are you going to stand for and what are you against? This really puts into focus the fact that, hey, I'm going to do things because they're right, not necessarily because I'm making a short-term, you know, transaction here as a professional.
I wish that I had these when I graduated from college. They're just really great images.
Isn't it great? Mm-hmm. But I mean, ultimately, you hear a lot of themes in here that we've talked about in the past where, you know, giving, you know, back to the network really leads to success.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the body metaphor, you know, holds true here because we're all interconnected. And because of that, we have to make sure that we're living this shared collective consciousness that we talked about earlier.
It's great. I want to tone in on one of those because core values I've seen help employees make good decisions. You know, there's a classic example of this, and that is that Nordstrom's has always been known for its customer service. And I love the rules that are given to the employees, right? And the first rule of the employees is use your best judgment. And the second rule is there are no other rules. And it really empowers those employees to go the second mile. You know, so the classic story that Nordstrom's was known for is a person came in and said, you know, I've got a size 8 on one foot, but my other foot is bigger, and it's a size 8.5. And so I'm always struggling to get shoes. And so the Nordstrom employee I took the eight out of the for the left foot and eight and a half out of another box for the right foot and sold them. Well, now he's got two shoes. Obviously, they go bankrupt. They do it every day. But my point is, it's responsive.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we need here. We need to be involved in that. And so, consequently, a high value in Nordstrom's. You're treated really well when you go into that store, for example.
I think it's fantastic. And Nordstrom's is a great example. You know, I've had one of my most formative experiences in, you know, in talking about and dealing with core values was actually in a retail experience, too. But we were able to collectively create what our core values were at an annual retreat, and it was a very emergent and organic thing. You know, said it another way, it wasn't top-down and saying, hey, going forward, these are our core values, and then go forth and prosper. We built them together, and that was just – it was a galvanizing moment for us and yielded huge results for us culturally and ultimately, I mean, business results were great too.
Yeah, and that's that co-creation. People own what they help create.
That's right.
And that's so critical too. Another thing that core values I've seen very valuable is simplifying decisions. I've got a good friend in town who's a real estate investor. But early on with his partner, they sat down and said, here are the values that are going to drive our decisions for what real estate we buy or that we manage, right? We invest in. And he tells me that that's been their guiding moment. So there's all kinds of different real estate you can be involved with, but that's very specific. And they followed that, and it especially helped them through the downtimes of the when real estate was really down a long ways. And it helped them get through that and not be out of business.
You know, I've got a example on the other side of that coin recently, too. I've been working with another firm, professional services firm, and they were telling me a story about saying, hey, we're really struggling right now because in 2015, we chased a bunch of quote-unquote bad money and bad clients, and, you know, we wanted to, you know, make sure we could, you know, fill our financial requirements for the year, you know, make our quota, et cetera. But they were really living in pain because they were making some bad decisions and weren't aligning with folks that, you know, were core to their own values. And ultimately, you know, we're paying the price. I mean, they lost a lot of good quality talent. And then it's just kind of a anti-virtuous cycle that just kind of repeats. So, I mean, there's, you know, again, that's why core values are so important.
Absolutely.
Because, it, you know, it's, again, what do you stand for and what do you stand against is a critical question.
Yes.
I mentioned Apple earlier.
Yep.
And it wasn't in the best light. They were called to the carpet again on some of the practices that they were doing manufacturing-wise around the globe. You can see with the new leadership with Tim Cook, he has espoused some interesting things on the topic of values. And I'll leave it up to the audience to decide whether it's believable or not. But he makes some really interesting and profound statements. Like he believes that everything can change other than your values. Mm-hmm. So the business model can change, what you ultimately sell, how you go to market, all of that can change and is variable. But ultimately, what you stand for and what you believe in, like Apple certainly wants to change the world, and they want to do that through
That's right.
technology.
Yep.
So their core values are aligned toward that. So I think it's interesting. We'll see how that goes. But again, you know, I think, the importance of values is showing through with one of the world's largest brands today.
Yes. And kind of in the last moments here, I want to connect it back to 1 Peter 5 because I find this model of leadership just fits right into how leadership looks when you're outside of a hierarchy and where authority is not the major way that you go about influencing, but it's much more about the leading values give you. And 1 Peter 5 says this. It says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, Hamill, right? As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eagerly to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flocks. These are such great statements, but being great examples and the leading from those values is so much more powerful than using authority, which doesn't work long term. Sometimes it has to be for a moment, but it really is a whole different way of doing this. Being eager to serve as opposed to being distrustful, right, and feeling like you have to, right? All these things, they capture a different kind of leadership. And Jesus said so well, you know, in the secular leadership, they're going to be lording it over one another, which is the essence of hierarchy, can be.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, not so in the kingdom. And so we're talking about this interconnected reality and the power of having these guideposts, values, in how we go about going about leading in organizations, right? I'm glad you've been with us today. We've got more questions to come. Remember, our series really is looking at this image of the body and as the major metaphor, and today what values and leadership look like in that. Next week, we're going to be discussing the question, do you have a digital strategy? And next week, Justin's going to be lead dog, and it's going to be great to hear from him.
It's probably going to be the best show ever.
I think so. Thanks for joining us. As a reminder, you can join in the conversation and catch up with all our podcasts. We review them on davidstarkcollective.com. You can see us at Stark Collective. Don't forget to check us out and review our podcast. For Justin Royer, I'm David Stark. See you next week.